mytankatthetakeaway.org. So the president faced the microphones yesterday and had a very stern face and voice for General Motors and Chrysler.
Each company has submitted a plan to restructure. But after careful analysis, we've determined that neither goes far enough to warrant the substantial new investments that these companies are requesting. And so today I'm announcing that my administration will offer GM and Chrysler a limited additional period of time to work with creditors, unions, and other stakeholders to fundamentally restructure in a way that would justify an investment of additional taxpayer dollars.
So hours earlier, President Obama and the administration had announced that Rick Wagoner, the CEO of General Motors, was asked to step down. What is the precedent for this confrontation or collaboration, whatever you want to call it, with a major American industry? David Sanger joins us. He's chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. He's author of The Inheritance, The World Obama Confronts and the Challenges to American Power. We might change your subtitle to The World Obama is Changing as We Speak. David Sanger, first of all, thanks for joining us. And what's the precedent?
Good to be back with you.
What's the precedent here? It was reminiscent to me of JFK and the steel industry, the sort of jawboning episode, but there's a lot different.
Well, I think that the steel industry analogy we might want to reach for is Truman in 1952, when he took over the steel companies briefly because there was a strike that had been called by the United Steelworkers, and he literally nationalized the industry. It only lasted about a month. The Supreme Court stepped in and told him he didn't have the powers to do it, which then raises the question, how does Barack Obama get the powers to do it? And the answer is he's not literally nationalizing. What he's doing in this particular case is, since he's the only one with any money left out here that might get lent to these two car makers, he's saying it's my way or you never see the highway.
Well, you know, in Truman's case, he tried to just literally take over the steel industry. JFK tried to jawbone the steel industry to reduce its prices. Here, you've got a combination. Although Obama is attempting to sort of do it with the power of the Treasury, not so much with the power of the court.
Yeah, this is... this is well beyond jawboning. When you tell the chairman of the company that it really is time for him to go and he leaves, that's not the usual back and forth between, you know, the government has jawboned many industries over many times. The concern here is that at the moment that President Obama ends up basically making the key decisions for the auto industry, however temporarily, he owns it. And he owns whatever goes wrong with it. So if this whole effort doesn't work out, he'll be the one now taking the blame, not GM management.
Well, two things. I mean, how did this decision about Rick Wagoner come down? And, you know, extending on your point there, does Barack Obama have to come up with a GM car in 60 days, say a green vehicle that delivers health care in the glove compartment?
It would be nice, but I think what he does have to do is the first thing they have to do is the government will take an active role in paring down the number of nameplates. So, you know, if Pontiac goes away, if the Buick division is half its size, if certain models, you know, disappear, then this is your last moment to buy a Pinto, right? then that will be the government's call. And then what they're going to do, I think, is press them into investing much more heavily, not just into the long-range green cars, but into things that will be out on the roads much sooner. And let me give you an example of this. At GM a few years ago, early in the Bush administration, President Bush invited all of the American car makers to go take their models for hydrogen-powered cars, these are all prototypes, and put them out on the South Lawn. Well, they did it, but we're no closer to a hydrogen car. Who didn't he invite at that time? All of the Japanese companies that, partly in America, were making the hybrids. Not a single one was on the South Lawn. What do you see out on the roads? The hybrids. So I suspect that part of what you're going to see the government do at this point is force GM to move into energy efficiency much more quickly.
So did Rick Wagoner say, I don't want to be a part of these new hybrids, or was he literally forced out? Was he told, you know what, somebody's got to go, buddy?
You know, I don't know the backstory to this. I'm in London right now for the G20, and so I did not have time to go try to sort out at the White House who told him. But it doesn't take a whole lot of guesswork out here to figure out that since Mr. Wagner was telling us a week ago that nobody had suggested to him that he leave, and he had no intention of leaving, somebody suggested to him that he leave.
So how many countries are in the G20? I was trying to figure this out this morning.
Well, you know, you would sit here and think it's a G20. It would be 20 countries, right?
Yeah, I would think that. And you'd be wrong.
by my count,
had a feeling.
By my count, it's 29 now, or at least 29 participants. That's a lot of people around the because the last one of the G20 is supposed to be the European Union. But, of course, the British are here in addition to the European Union president, who's the Prime Minister of Czechoslovakia. The British are here. The Spanish are here because they were running the European Union during the last G20 summit in Washington in November. And so if you had an invitation to the last one, I guess it was still good for this one.
Oh, so it's like at the Kiss concert. Some people have tickets, and other people have tickets and backstage passes and stuff.
And backstage passes. And you know who else has got a backstage pass? The head of the UN, the head of the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund has got one. So they're all here. And then you've got, you know, Brazil and China and Indonesia and Italy and Japan and Russia. The Saudis will be here. South Africans, Turkey. So it's going to be a big crowd, which then raises the question, how do you remake the architecture of the international economy in one day with 29 people around the table? And the answer to that is you don't.
Well, to say nothing of the fact that if they can't count to 20 and they're going to fix the financial crisis, okay, fine. You know, I'm pretty smart, but I'm not that smart. What's a slogan for the new car industry, David, before we go?
The Bankrupt Pep Boys.
Nice. David Sanger, Chief Washington Correspondent for The New York Times, author of The Inheritance, The World Obama Confronts and the Challenges to American Power. Mark Garrison has the headlines.
Hey, John, coming up on 20 minutes before the hour.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them. Because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.